I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
These two games tell you anything about this team?
That we're trending in the right direction. And, you know, especially at this time of the season, just trying to find the way to be the best version of ourselves going into the playoffs. I think, watching us now, we play with a lot more passion. And we just seem like we're having a lot more fun. Obviously, when you win it, you tend to, you know, play with, you know, a little more enthused and smile and laugh and things like that. It wasn't happening too often beginning of the season. So defense and everybody being locked in, just having fun. You know, this is basketball at the end of the day, and it's supposed to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun lately.
All right, another episode of the Cadre Sheet Podcast. Packed house. We all back together. What's going on, everyone? Jarrell Pavone's here. Sean Ducha. Hey. I am Joseph Pavone. Celtics still winning games over here. Man, what a performance against the Memphis Grizzlies on TNT nonetheless. Arguably their best game of the season. Jason Tatum outshowing Ja Morant. Come on, man. That was an incredible moment for not only Jason Tatum, but for the Celtics team. The birthday boy, if you will. Guys, what do we got here, man? I'm just opening the floor with that. Let's go. It's been a while. Yo, how are we doing?
This dude turning 19 for, like, what, the fifth year in a row?
Oh, here we go.
Dropping 37. Like, yo, he nearly doubled his age in points.
Celtics Twitter was dropping that so much that if you from nowhere around Boston, you wouldn't get it. You're like, dude, he's not 19. Why did he keep saying that? Like,
are these people stupid?
And it was all night, too. All night. The joke continued.
I love that Marcus Smart posted that, hey, happy 30th birthday.
Not all right, you old man.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
Yo, even Donovan Mitchell got in on the fun. He's like, yo, happy 19th, son.
Yeah, right.
Yo, you know what, though? The stars are aligning for that game. Just like Jason Tatum's birthday. And Sway shit on me last time we talked about this, but I said Ja Morant should be getting some MVP votes, but.
Now he should be. This is before the 50. Like Joel says all the time, as soon as we record a podcast,
yo, some crazy
something
shit
wild yeah, happens man. The next day. That's yeah. exactly what happened.
But the hottest thing in the league comes into Boston. You know, Jaylen Brown's down. It's the first game without Jaylen Brown. And then, like, it really cements to me that, like, as a Celtics fan, and even as a Celtics, like, it's a franchise. Like, we have the best building block in the NBA outside of maybe Luka Doncic. Like, you have the best building block in the NBA to build around. And it's just like, it cemented my belief that I've been preaching for years on this podcast that Jason Tatum's, you know, I don't know if he's top five yet, but he'll be there. He'll be in top five NBA player, you know, in the next 2 years. And right now he's definitely flirting with, you know, I don't know, maybe all NBA
greatness.
Team.
They can say it. Just say greatness. He's flirting with greatness. Yeah.
no, he's flirting with Chris. Like, yeah, he is. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to be modest to not say like MVP.
Yeah, yeah, I see you. I can tell too. You're like, yeah. I don't want to go too crazy. Yeah. I'm going to say something to you. You know, I'm going to correct you.
To be honest, I mentioned it last episode, and I know, Joel, you were down in Roatan, you know, swimming with the barracudas and shit, but...
Oh, man, we got to get stories on that.
Yes.
But last episode...
swimming with the barracudas.
I told Sway, I said, if the Celtics get close to the one seed, then Jason Tatum is an MVP candidate, and they're heading that way, and if he keeps playing the way he's playing... And that statement matchup against Ja Morant where he said, hey, I'm going to go for 37 real points. You can go 0 for 5 and 0 for, you know,
real points.
And get 38 points and lose. I'm going for 37 real ones.
Yeah, but what made it so special was that he dropped 21 in that fourth quarter. Like 21 of those 37 points, Jason Tatum did that. Yeah, like, you know, that slow start in the first half, he had 10 points by halftime, completely different. Different approach. It wasn't like he was bad in the first half. He was just warming up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's something about this team recently that as soon as they get into halftime, whether they're winning or losing, and it's just like, all right, guys, it's time to turn the fucking, you know, turn on the jets real quick because, you know, third quarter, this is our quarter. And they just come out.
Right.
Just come out and just, you know, do the damn thing. And it's always within the first, like 2 or 3 minutes of the third quarter when you know, all right, Celtics, they're going to take control of this game, right? And then it's just a matter of maintaining that and just playing that hard-nosed defense that we've been seeing over the past, like, you know, like 2 months now. So, I mean, when it comes to Jason Tatum, the best part I feel like during the stretch about Jason Tatum is all the fucking dunks. You know what I mean? Like, whether he's going downhill or whether he's getting fed an alley-oop. Yo, that alley-oop from fucking Al Horford, he grabbed the rebound. We went coast to coast and then just laid it up perfectly for Jason to slam it home. It's like... Downhill Tatum is the best Tatum.
And the defense propels that, right?
Exactly. Like,
that's what's been so great. And also, you know, you talk about the third quarter too, but also the first quarters, right? Like the way they're getting out of teams. Yeah. Like they made the Grizzlies so uncomfortable that first half. I mean, Ja Morant combined with Desmond Bane, a combination that's been stellar the last, you know, throughout this run that they had going into Boston. Like they were cold. They were ice cold. You know, they were rattled. They were, you know, granted, they were still in the game. It wasn't like the Celtics had a huge lead on them. But all that, I felt like, was significant when you look at the way things carried over into the second half.
Yeah, the pace. The Celtics determined the pace of that game because that's the Grizzlies' bread and butter, just going out and just running the hell out of teams and whatever gym that they're in. But what I also found interesting, especially in the last two games, is overcoming – some crazy shit happening early in the first quarter. You know, Jaylen Brown going down against the Hawks. And they're going down by 17, but then they, you know, got their shit together in the second half and took care of business. Against Memphis, right? Not a huge loss. Ime's got to, like, you know, shuffle some things around off the bench. But poor Nesmith, you know, rolls his ankle real bad in the first, like, you know, first few minutes of the first quarter. And immediately you got, you know, Derek White and Marcus Smart just playing that backcourt defense. And
yeah,
just,
I love that combination. Yeah, I love it.
That combination is ridiculous. And the fact that they held, you know, Ja to 8 points in the first half, it speaks volumes from that from a standpoint that if this team is healthy, that's the number one thing they always bring up when people ask, oh, what's been like the difference in this over, you know, this stretch here? And it's always like health. If this team is healthy defensively, no one can touch this team in the East right now. I'm saying it right now.
It feels ridiculous to say Ja had like a quiet 38 because it took him a lot of shots to get there, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you don't get this type of performance you don't get this kind of win if you don't have Tatum going toe-to-toe with that. And look, the fact that Marcus Smart, in my opinion, probably had one of his better games, if not his best game of the season, like, this momentum that he's been on right now, like, this is altogether his best season, the best season of his career.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah,
it's
a little bit
outside. And the way that they've been empowering each other and the momentum, like you said, Joel, like coming out of halftime, and, you know, clearly buying into Ime Udoka being named the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month, like all that, I just feel like it's just coming together perfectly for them to not only believe in each other, but just believe in, like, man, we can do this. We can go head to head with anybody and shit. If Brooklyn's going to come to Boston, then bring it. Welcome back, Kyrie. Let's do it. Like, all of that is relevant, man. I'm telling you, man. This is a recipe for one heck of a run, I believe. Like, and whether it, you know, whether it ends in the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever, like, it's just going to be a crazy ride. So that's all I'm going to say right now.
Add a caveat to that, Sway. I'll add to that point. Right now, the way things are shaping out in the East, right? It's a kind of a clusterfuck, if you will, right now, between the 2 and the 6 seed.
A little tight.
Some of these teams are not 100% right now. And the teams that were the favorites at the beginning of the season, i.e. the Brooklyn Nets, we don't know how things are going to shape out for them. And even a team like the 76ers, who don't have the best track record in the playoffs, especially when it comes to James Harden. Right, so like the Celtics need to take advantage of the way things bounce for them. Again, the way they're playing defense, like we remember the bubble, right? They were, if I'm not mistaken, 2 seasons ago, they were a top 5 defensive team and top 5 offensive team. This team defensively this year, way better than that team. So,
oh yeah, this team is like historically good. That's the thing. It's like they're historically good. And I think you're right on that, Joel, because the whole thing about the Eastern Conference, like during the bubble, and why everyone was so pissed off that the Celtics didn't take advantage of it was
missed opportunities. Yeah.
There was openings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That same Heat team plus Kyle Lowry is like number one, right?
Yeah.
The Bulls are very beatable. Like, I don't think anyone really believes in the Bulls to go
out. Hey. Hey! Don't hate on your boy DeRozan. That was the guy last week.
Joel. How did the Lakers fuck that up?
I'm just kidding. I'm messing around. I mean, obviously he's having a heck of a season, but no, I hear what you're saying. This is all new. This is new for them right now. It's a new team. Yeah,
And the Heat probably have a little bit of a pedigree. The Bucks have a little bit of a pedigree.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the ones that scare me.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty open. It's pretty open this year.
It's open. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. That's like, because you know why? The Nets put themselves in a position where they suck so much right now that they're going to have to literally go through probably the top
3. It sounds like they fucked this up so bad.
They legit have gone the opposite direction. The Celtics and the Nets have gone the opposite direction since the start of 2022. They couldn't have.
Don't even get us started on the Lakers.
But the Nets are just
sound like a Sean line. I thought Sean was going to come in and say,
no, but the Nets are just one example, right? If you look out west, and I'm not taking anything away from the Phoenix Suns. They're doing the damn thing out there.
The West is wide open,
but the West is also wide open.
And, without Chris Paul,
exactly. Chris Paul. So then,
Devin Booker is on.
Yeah, if things bounce the right way, and you're able to take advantage of whatever circumstances. You can see the Celtics in the finals, and it's not a stretch that they can actually, compete with whoever comes out of the West as well.
Listen, I'm just saying, like, and I said this last week, and I'll continue to say it, is like, I don't think, from my perspective, and I think this is from a lot of Celtics, like, followers' perspective, it's not that we didn't think this team was good, it's that they were underachieving. That was the problem. Like, we all look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the pieces around them and the way, Brad Stevens built this team and the addition of Derek White and, like, the addition of Daniel Tice to, like, front court depth. Like,
this team, he had a good game, too.
This team should be really hard to get out in a 7-game series. But the problem is that they've sort of historically, ever since that, was that 2018 run? Was that 2019?
You're talking about 2019. Tatum, talking about Tatum's rookie year.
Tatum's rookie year.
Yeah, 2017, 2018. Yeah,
so, 2018 run. Ever since then, they've historically underachieved. Maybe outside the bubble, but they still they underachieved in the bubble because they should have beat.
They should have beat the Heat.
You know what I mean? So like,
can we? Go ahead.
You're looking at a team that has just been underachieving, not living up to the hype and. So much so that the hype literally went away and everyone was just like, you know what? This team's an 8th seed, whatever. They suck. Like, break them up. Trade Jalen. They can't play together. That's why those things started to come into play because they're underachievers. So it's like now that they're playing to their potential, you have to give credit to Ime. You have to give credit to the leader of the team, Jason Tatum. You have to give credit to Al Horford for showing up. Marcus Smart's been showing up. Like, everyone is doing what they're supposed to do.
Jaylen Brown, man. Say it.
Jaylen Brown.
Thank you.
Gets injured in the worst possible.
Oh my God.
The injury prone?
No.
I was probably the only one that during that Jaylen Brown injury said, "You got to be fucking kidding me, Jaylen. Are you serious? It's his fault. It's fucking his fault."
So Jaylen Brown suffered a sprained right ankle. They're not calling this thing long term, or at least Ime Udoka isn't calling this thing long term. Of course, he's not available for the Nets game.
And also, I watched that Nesmith replay. I think he broke his fucking leg.
Dude, that was pretty bad. Yeah.
No, his leg.
I mean, Ime said that it swelled up big time. Afterwards, when they were giving updates, but that looked awful.
Yeah, I think Jaylen will be back. I mean, I don't know. I got mad at him a little bit. Okay.
I mean, look. In the past, maybe they might have rushed him to come back. So I don't think the way the team is playing right now, and Ime and his rotations, it's short term. It's not a bad thing. If it turns into a long term thing, where it's like, oh no, he'll be back.
And but let me.
Rush right now. There's no rush.
That's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. No, but if it turns into keep asking about Brown and they keep saying, oh, day to day, and then he doesn't come back after 10 games, we're gonna be like, what the fuck, what's going on, But if it's short term, they're saying it is, then there's no rush.
Let me ask you one thing that I think, I don't know if it's been talked about too much, but I've sort of been thinking about it.
Just crazy. Back-to-back sprained ankles.
Nesmith
looked a lot worse.
No, even Trae Young fucked the shit up too.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, but the way that Ime really
shattered.
Ime really conquered February was sort of treating it like the playoffs. We were playing an 8-man rotation.
He's been doing that all year though, technically.
Well,
yeah, you know, it's like a freaking new generation Black Popovich.
Yeah, dude.
Ain't got no time for no
I feel like in February, after January and February was okay. The only people coming off the bench that are playing is Grant Williams,
Derek White.
Obviously, Derek White
who's been solid, by the way. Grant Williams, man.
Just imagine if Jay Rich was still on the squad,
and then and Daniel Tice. That's it. You're playing with an eight to 9-man rotation.
Maybe Payne, then from time to time.
Tice, maybe.
No, Payne. No, Pritchard.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
And there too to make it 8/9, but
Peyton Tice, that's what it said.
He's been very aggressive, and with minutes, I'm okay with it because I think it's the NBA. They should be able to play the minutes, but
it's crazy though. It's crazy you bring that up. You know why? Because for those that say, the last time they played the Heat, for example, they played the shorthanded Heat. Well, early in the season, we saw a glimpse of this defense against the Bucks a few times. And against the Heat. The Heat were at full strength, and the Heat couldn't score no more than 75 points. So you talk about now when the defense is actually, they're putting it together now. I want to see them play against teams like that now. And so to have the naysayers say, oh, shit, maybe I was talking shit. I didn't realize that this team was actually better defensively than what we've been seeing early in the season.
And let me say one thing about Pop teams.
No, you can't, bro. No.
One thing about Pop teams. They're always going to go on a run. And it's going to be like the Belichick coach teams where Belichick. Belichick, when are the Patriots the best?
When people don't expect them?
November and December.
After Thanksgiving.
September and October, you're like, whoa, we're like 3-4. I don't know if we're going to be able to make. And then everyone's. And then
it's like November and December with the Celtics.
Then
they rip off 7-8 in a row. I get you.
Yeah. So like, I think Pop's been doing the same thing with the Spurs for a while, and you know, I always thought like the whole thing about the Celtics like being really good in February. It's like that's when good teams normally aren't that great because they take it off. You know, they mm-hmm. like that's when the doldrums of the NBA season is. And I thought it was weird. And that's I also thought it was weird that everyone freaked out about that Pistons game because I was like, good teams lose before the All-Star break. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Like, good teams always lose before the All-Star break, man. So
I don't know. But I feel like with the winning streak, it was like, you just take that, you know. And they responded on the other end, you know, so that was good.
Yeah.
No, that was what most people expected.
Yeah. I just think it's great that they're responding to Ime, and it's happening when
the best time.
I think a lot of, in the league in general, there's a lot of shakeup in February. People take it off in February. And then if you can get something going in February, that normally translates to March and April. And then, you know, you're in a good spot.
No, you're right. Because the simple fact that this just the month of February alone turned this thing around. Right. And now you hear the talking heads throwing the Celtics in that conversation. Are they contenders? Don't sleep on the Celtics. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden there's a tension in a good way, right? Not in a negative way. And at the same time, they're feeling themselves a little bit, but not like in a conceited way. They're just like, yo, we're having fun. It's all positive in the locker room. And you can see it when they come out and play.
So before we get into Sean's segment and look ahead to the schedule, let me ask y'all something. You guys think, let's face it, Ime got a little heat. You know, there was some Celtics fans, some noise saying, like, oh, maybe this isn't the right guy. Maybe he isn't the one that should be leading this group. You know, they're going to stop listening to him.
Dutra.
Do either one of you think that he, at this point, or maybe like a week ago, or maybe after the Grizzlies win, that he just went home to his girl to kneel along and was just like, I told y'all motherfuckers I can do this. You know what I mean? Or like he just kind of flexed me, like, you know, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like he kind of has that in him. Like,
he's got the straight face.
He's got the straight face with the media and everything. And he's like, you know, he plays the part. It's perfect. That's what you want to be. But like, you know, behind closed doors, he's just like, you know, doing the Jordan fist pump and like yes, let's go.
Like, let's go.
I knew Tatum was tall. Yeah. I knew I'd get to him. I knew I'd get to Jalen. Like, I knew Marcus would be doing this. Like, I told y'all.
Like they didn't see my vision, sweetie. They didn't see it. No, I know, baby. Right. I know. Don't worry. You're doing your thing now. Yeah, I got it. I got this. I know it. You know, I saw him on ESPN too, and he's like, you know, he's got a little smirk on, and it's all right, cool. It's like enjoy it, but at the same time, you know, let's keep our feet on the ground, right? When it comes to
no.
All right, Joel Dutra. Jeez, what do you mean?
I will say this. I was
basking it. I mean, don't go crazy.
No, I'm saying basking. I'm saying don't go crazy, but like enjoy the moment. But at the same time, look at the bigger picture, which is what every time I hear Jason Tatum get interviewed, that's what it is. It's like, yeah, the winning streak was great, but like, you know, we're trying to like climb up the standings and get a good playoff seeding. Great. That's awesome.
So I was very hard on Ime to start the season, and I can't say anything now. Like I didn't hate the hiring. I liked the hiring, but his first, even like before it, training camp, like to the new year. So that was like 5 months of just like what he was doing wasn't working. Like everything that he was doing.
But it didn't change.
Nah, man. They had to change. Yeah. Right. He had to freaking slice out those bad habits, man. Like people didn't realize how long it was going
to take. Yeah, which is what I was trying to get to, is like it just wasn't having immediate results. It was just like something that we had to wait for, you know?
No.
I don't think that when we hired him, there was any type of like mindset of like, oh, we're going to have to wait a little bit for his impact to be felt. I think the whole thing that was sold to us was, oh, he's going to make an immediate impact on the team. And that was a little bit unfair for him.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that was like on him or even Brad Stevens. I felt like because so many fans last season were like, get rid of Stevens. Like, he's the problem. Like, they've tuned him out. And then the new coach comes in and it's like, yep, He's from the school of Popovich. It's going to be, you know, winning like immediately. And,
yeah.
And people were pissed.
I mean, I'm also a Brad guy. So I'm a Brad Stevens coaching guy. I thought
all three of us are. We've established this.
Right. So, you know, to replace a top five coach in the league, like, I'm expecting you to come in with no, like, hiccups, you know? But there were some hiccups, but
I'm a rookie coach, man.
I'm very happy to see that what we went through in the fall, in the winter, and in 2021 was sort of just like going somewhere. Because I think a lot of the
planting of the seeds.
Yep. A lot of the time with coaches, like, they suck. And then they're like, we're going to get there. And then it never turns into anything. And this is one of those rare times where, like, the Celtics suck to start the season. And they didn't listen to their coach. And they didn't listen to anybody. And then all of a sudden.
You saw glimpses, though.
You did. You know what? You did see glimpses because there were games, like, against the Bucks to start the season, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this team can do something. And they hurt them, but.
Like the Heat, you know, they blew out the Suns. Yeah. It was a good couple of blowouts there that you were just like, okay.
I hear you, but, you know, the fact that the Celtics sucked and they were in the 10th spot going into the Ime's first couple months of coaching was not where he wanted to be. But hey, I've shat on him. And there's an episode where I think you can look back on where I pointed out.
You called him Sudoku.
I did. I called him Sudoku when he got hired, and I pointed out his four flaws. But you know what? I'm an Ime guy now.
Not even close.
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. And even right to the Olympic coverage is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, Sean. And with that, we throw it right back to you with your segment. Look ahead.
Hey, looking ahead. Everybody's looking ahead. Looking ahead.
Ba 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 ba.
Let's spin and have a ball.
Look, Dave,
you sound like what's the dude name on TNT? Tony and the Martinis.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like.
Yeah, what if I told you that Tony from Tony and the Martinis was actually the guy from the Foxwoods commercials back
then? Yo, I'd believe it.
He wrote the jingle.
And I would believe that. It sounds right up his alley.
Let's drink and have a ball. Yeah, let's drink.
I'll never forget.
Meet me at Foxwoods. Yeah.
I don't know why this always stays with me, but I'll never forget when those dudes were on TNT. And I was just like on Twitter, just like watching, you know, inside the NBA, whatever, just scrolling. And freaking Sam Backers goes, you know, Tony and the Martinis got to be the saddest looking group of dudes I've ever seen in my life. It was the funniest thing. Bro. And from that point forward, I watched them with that lens, and they just looked terrible. Like the way they were interacting with Ernie and shit. And he was just trying to be all like, I don't know. It was just
Ernie's like having a good time. Yeah. He's having a good ass time.
You guys are awesome, like, man. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
And Chuck is like, yo, why do we keep bringing these dudes back here?
Yeah. He's looking over, just like, yo, why is this cover band? Oh, like, why are they here still? Like, what the?
Like,
they're doing the whole show? They're gonna do the whole fucking show right now?
Whose cousin is Tony and who fuck are the Montagnes, all right?
Because I'm putting shit on them on the air right now. Next commercial break. Happens break.
It's like, hit it, Tony. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. And they made Charles sing Frank.
Yeah.
Get some Frank.
Yeah, fucking My Way.
I did another word. That's his favorite. Yeah. Now pay my dues.
That's how Tony gets back at Chuck. Chuck talking shit. All right, yo, sing Frank right now. See if you remember the words.
Oh, that was great when they did that. That was good.
And those guys are nice, man. I just thought the stamp package made me laugh.
It's like, hey.
Hey,
by the way, I didn't realize I knew something was off with them, but then now that you mentioned it, yeah, they look kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
It's oversized suits for me, bro. You
know? Yeah. And just they're like the, hey, come on, man. No, I was like, oh, is this scripted? What's
like
going
the first, yeah, like the first few times I remember when they would just come on, I just think to myself, I was like, is this like exaggerated? Is this supposed to be like, you know, like a parody?
Joe texts me just like, yo, these dudes again. Huh?
I'm like, yo, is this a parody of an actual like, you know, cover band or I don't know. This was weird.
All right. Okay. All right. Are we looking ahead?
We're
looking ahead. And guess what?
Brooklyn.
We got Brooklyn. But that is not the headline. The headline is Kevin Garnett is getting his number 5 retired. Yeah,
in like a week, bro. Jesus. Take it easy.
It's against the Mavericks on the 13th, bro. Jesus. Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, you're right.
Yo, what is with you? Last week you want to preview 7 games, and now you want to just skip. You want to skip through the schedule now? That's what we're doing. What do you think this is, bro?
The only thing that was missing was him. Hey, we got the Mavericks coming. I'm like, no, we don't.
Know what it is, Joel? You know what it is, Joel? This dude Sean's taking this thing so damn seriously that he just looks ahead to whatever part of the fucking schedule. Doesn't even care about keeping it in line, man. Unbelievable.
You know, sometimes.
No. You know what? Why don't we just do like these do back in the day? If the playoffs started today, how about that? Yeah, right? Why don't we preview the matchup if it started today? Oh, NBA on NBC. Remember, if the playoffs started today. Who we got? Who does something play?
It's Celtics Nets, Celtics Hornets, Celtics Pistons, and Kevin Garnett's getting his number retired, baby. Let's go. That's all I'm saying.
No. There's not only 3 games until KD's retirement. You're lying. You are a liar.
Thank you. They're a little bit off there because there's only 3 games until his retirement.
4 games?
Ah, we got the Nets coming in. So
4 games. At least 4 games.
First game is Nets coming into Boston. Ken?
Motherfucking matinee.
Well, it's a matinee. And can the Nets field a team that is competitive?
Well...
Yeah.
KD is back.
And oh, what about the bombshell that was dropped about, you know, 48 hours ago or so? Joe Harris out for the season.
Oh, yeah, out for the season, yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, but they got
that
they got,
hurts them. Man.
They got Dragic. Don't worry. Man, he'll fit right in.
I thought you were going to say Simmons joke. I'm like, oh, that's not funny. Stop it.
He's not
shooting.
Come on, guys.
Guy doesn't shoot.
Ain't playing this season or in the playoffs. Let's be real.
That's a whole nother conversation. But anyways, Durant, though, he should be there, right?
Yeah.
Kyrie.
I mean, not playing in Brooklyn.
no Jaylen Brown. Sort of a it's not even that at all. But anyways. How do you guys feel about this matchup? I mean, after what we saw against Memphis, I mean, these are two different beasts, right? These are two top tier stars that they're about to go against.
Look at here. All right. If the Celtics don't come out the way they've been playing this last 15 games, especially because this is the first time Kyrie's coming back to Boston since the playoffs, since he stomped on fucking Lucky's face.
Since the water bottle got thrown on him.
There's not like bulletin board material here. That Ime could use, because Ime is apparently he's used stuff like that, you know, early in the season. Then I don't know who knows what the fuck's gonna happen. Like the dapping up or the mental warfare that KD has sometimes over Tatum. Like I hope there's none of that shit. I hope they legit stomp on these dudes the way they've stomped them the last couple times, even though those other guys haven't been there, like the same way.
Can they slow them down though, the way they did with Ja? I mean, they didn't completely stop them, obviously. If someone scores damn near 40 points, that's not stopping somebody. But I mean, can you do that against someone like Durant?
No.
And he's one of the greatest scorers of all time. Like, this is a different beast, you know?
I don't think you can, like, you know, with a wing player that's 6'10 and can play like a guard, you can't slow him down. Like, you just can't. Like, you just have to, like, basically.
You can make it difficult for him.
You can make it difficult. And maybe you can, like, be a little bit of a speed bump, but I think like when Kevin Durant's on, it doesn't matter what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And like in most cases, like with Ja Morant, like, yeah, if you don't have the right game plan and you don't have Marcus Smart and you don't have Derek White backing up Marcus Smart, then
yeah, I got you. But you knew the identity of the Grizzlies when they came in. What is the identity of the Nets? I know KD has been out for 20 some odd games. He had a great, you know, game where in his return, but it's the rest of the Nets. It's the chemistry that we don't know or remains to be seen. A couple of new pieces here and there. I think if the Celtics just got to come out aggressive and not let up.
Yeah, no, I think like to beat the Nets, even with Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons. Even though Ben Simmons is not playing in this game, most likely, the Celtics focus on defense and just playing team defense is what will win those games. Because you can't, I don't think you can stop Durant. Just like all those years, we would sit there, we'd be like, we can put Semi Ojeleye on LeBron. We'll be fine. He's a LeBron stopper.
It was Giannis, but valid point.
Okay, but who was Jay Crowder on LeBron?
There you go.
First on LeBron, right? And then
he did a pretty good job, right?
On Giannis. But what I'm saying is,
you could do a lot worse than Jay Crowder.
Oh, 1,000. Trust me. You don't have to sound me on Crowder now. You know?
would you have his slides or something?
Would you forget who you were talking to there?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is when you have.
So what'd you get on the big screen with his jersey on or something?
What I'm trying to say is when you have the best player in the NBA, you can't slow him down.
Made a Celtics commercial and whatnot.
But you can slow the team down because, you know, he's not putting up 100 points himself. He needs to, you know, you can't turn the ball over. You have to play good team defense. And then you need to get you need to be very advantageous off turnovers and stuff like that. Like, that's a simple like recipe for basketball. Like you just got to play good basketball. Right,
but I guess what I'm trying to get at is like you have to like how do you counter that? You know, because obviously you don't have Jaylen. Like that's a huge hole. Like it's easy to overlook, I should say, what the other guys did out there. I mean, I know we talked about Marcus. I know we talked about Derek White, but shit, Al Horford had a heck of a game. You know, can you count on like some sort of production? I'm not saying you need all those guys I just mentioned to duplicate what they did. But there's got to be some sort of recipe here. You know, Peyton Pritchard. I mean, I know guys are showing flashes here. Grant Williams. But is that enough to counter two guys that honestly are not only trying to, you know, make a statement here by beating you on your own floor, but they're trying to survive right now? I mean, the Nets are in a really tough spot. And like Sean talked about last week, it doesn't get easier. That schedule is easily, in my opinion, probably the most difficult schedule out of the teams that are trying to, you know, squeeze in there. Like it doesn't get easy for the Nets here.
The Nets are in a kind of a similar spot as the Lakers. I think they're like, if we just get to the even if it's the play-in, you know, healthy, then we have a shot, you know, to get into the actual like postseason itself. I think that's where they're at right now. They're trying to like kind of regroup and hope that, you know, Simmons comes back, but they're scrapping for wins right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a scrappy Brooklyn team, but I honestly don't feel like that Brooklyn team. Like, Patty Mills has been playing like dog shit. No.
Come on, man.
Who's the rookie?
He's in a tough spot.
No.
He's like, this fucking guy doesn't want to get vaxxed. Like, geez, I got to.
No, there's no. like team.
Like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, what the fuck?
Like, okay,
come off the bench.
Not what I signed up for at all, mate.
Yeah, right.
Right, let me put
James Harden's going. What are you talking about? Like, what?
Yeah, let me put it this
I way. Have to score now?
What happened?
And he's like, you brought
what
in
the Ben fuck Simmons. Happened?
You know, I'm on the national team and Ben Simmons isn't on.
I know, right? No one asked me what my opinion about Ben Simmons.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, like,
there's
just
a reason why we didn't call this motherfucker.
Yeah, there's a reason why I call him the fake Aussie. You know what I mean?
This is not what I signed up for. Like, what is going on?
Damn, like, it, I should have gone to EMA.
Yeah. Ben,
EMA texted him. Told you, motherfucker. You'd be getting paid Pritchard minutes right now if you wasn't.
Damn it, EMA.
If I had things my way, you'd be getting paid Pritchard minutes right now.
Yeah.
In green.
You see what I just did with Derek? You know, it could have been you.
Just save.
Yeah. Well, what?
See you in the playoffs, bitch.
No. What I truly,
if you get there,
what I truly feel about the Nets is that the way this team is put together is they do not have a team. They could have a team even without Joe Harris if they played together, but they haven't played together, and we've seen time and time again. Superstar teams coming together take a little bit to gel. This is not going to be any different this year but normally it happens at the beginning of the year. And if you go, you know, 6-7 at the beginning of the year, it's okay. But if you go 6-7, when you're ninth seed, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Like, they're sort of screwed, because as good as Kevin Durant is, we saw him the other night. How was he able to do against the the Heat that they lost to?
That's yeah. No, it wasn't the Heat.
Yeah, they lost. They beat the Bucks without. They beat the Bucks with Kyrie on the night we were at the bar, and then they.
Yeah, Kyrie came back because he had on the road and he had an embrace with his dad. And it was Saturday night, last Saturday, Saturday night showcase.
That was when we were out.
Which we should have told one of those freaking bartenders to change one of the TVs, man. They had all college basketball, and that was a good game, man. We should have watched.
Hey, college basketball was on.
We were literally like watching on our phones, like we're not like at a bar, you know. Jeez.
They lost 2 to the Raptors, and then they lost to the Heat, 113-107, in KD's first game back. So this is his second game back, and you know what?
All right, I don't even want you to say what you want to say. All right, let's go. What are you about to say?
You know what I was about to say.
Whenever you say something like that, you're going to say something ridiculous. Let's just say it.
I was just going to say, fuck Kyrie.
No, you weren't. You were not going to say that.
All right, who else the guy?
Probably would have.
All right, no, that's it. That's all right. We just spent 75 minutes on that. That's cool.
Yeah, we good. And then there's something.
Who's next?
Let us play the Hornets and then the Pistons this week until the KG retirement jersey on the 13th against the Mavericks. But we'll probably have an episode before then. I think we will.
I mean, shit. You know, I'm surprised you glossed over the fact that the Suns are playing the Hornets and playing IT.
Well, you know,
IT is back.
Bone to pick.
Ooh,
because Nick Stauskas, are you fucking kidding me? Nick Stauskas. This guy couldn't. Nick Stauskas was the third best player on a national championship team, which I understand.
And then, he called after he saw Nesmith go down, bro. What do you expect?
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? You know what, though? You know
what a
though?
Weird time for that sign.
Breaking. I know, right? It's like final buzzer, and it's just like, oh, by the way, someone just signed Nick Stauskas. Like, wait, what?
Yo, you know what happened, bro? Nick was at freaking Buffalo Wild Wings shooting the shit with his boys. And it's like, yo, these dudes called me the other day. You know what? I'm going to tell them, since Nesmith's out, bro, I'm in. Let's do it. And that's what happened. Call his agent.
Funny about
his agent, who was watching the game, was just like, oh, shit. Let's fucking call them up real quick.
He was like, yo, there's minutes for you now, bro.
Yeah, yo. Do you want me to push this through?
I can't stand the signing.
The Suns could do worse, bro. They could do worse.
No, they can't do worse.
They could do worse.
They could do worse.
They could do worse.
No, you can't.
What's wrong with Nick?
I would much rather have Mo Wagner on this team.
Come on, man. He just scored 100 points this past week in two games. Like, come on.
You know who else scored? You know who scored 87 points in two games? Isaiah Thomas on the same fucking team.
So that means they're coming from good teams.
Listen, Nick.
Joe's like, well, that's a good offensive system.
Shit. There was no drop off when Isaiah got signed.
Great offense.
And I'm pissed at Brad. I've never been.
Yo, you know they have two guys on 10-day contracts that's going to expire at some point, right? And they're going to have two open spots.
You know what?
They need some bodies.
Yeah.
Really cool is like if we did sign Isaiah Thomas to a 10-day contract, but we signed Nick Stauskas, the guy that got cut by the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, because he was
they had a crowded backcourt, right?
No, they goddamn did.
But
maybe now they don't, but they did.
The Celtics essentially were like, oh, we could use a shooter on the wing. Like, I don't see what's wrong with the signing.
Yeah, well,
no, I don't see what your deal is, bro.
Hold on.
As if the Celtics just have, like, they're just equipped with shooters or something.
Yeah, like, you know, Brown's out.
No, hold on.
You know, the best shooter in the 2020 draft is out.
I'm
sorry, I couldn't keep a straight face when I said that.
If you brought in a guy from, France that was, like, a knockdown shooter that we've been, like, recruiting the entire time, I would understand. But the fact you're bringing Nick Stauskas, you know...
Well, they can just cut him anytime they want to. You know that, right?
Hold on. There are 29 other teams.
I love how this is part of Sean's look ahead.
There are 29 other teams that could use a good shooter. And all 29 of them did not try to sign Nick Stauskas to a 2-year deal because they know he's fucked.
Bro, 2-year deal just means the rest of this season and next season is probably not a guaranteed year.
Yeah, I guarantee you that throughout this week, he's going to have a game where he just scores like 9 points.
And the next episode, Sean's like, I fucking love Stauskas.
I will put money sway right now that Nick Stauskas will not score 9 points this entire season.
Like, combined?
Combined.
What? How much you want to bet? Because you know in the last game, he's probably going to start.
No, stop lying. You're gonna pick him up.
The bracket.
You're going to pick him up in your fantasy next week. Don't lie, bro.
I'll put $500 on it right now.
That he'll, 9 points total this
nine
season.
9 points total.
Between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
Playoffs too?
End of the regular season, because he's not going to fucking sniff the playoffs. That's a dumb thing.
Oh, no. I'm not throwing the playoffs in there. No. Take that off the table. No.
Because he may get in the playoffs, like, when up by 57 points.
All right.
Well, the only reason why it might not happen is because is what Payne's doing right now, but
hey,
if this team continues to do what it's doing, there's a handful of blowout wins in its future, and that's when you're going to get in there and easily get those 9 points.
No, 9 points, it will never happen. I mean, if you're talking about players that will
watch him drop 9 points in the first quarter against the Nets,
yeah, too much. He goes 9 points, that will never happen.
Fuck,
it's going to be the first dude off the bench.
You heard it here first, $500.
Nah, not the first dude, but you know.
All right, so are they going undefeated? Right,
I'm going to get 500.
All right, we in on that? All right, 9 points. We're going to keep the Stauskas watch.
Stauskas watch.
It's going to be over
Stauskas
next week.
Stauskas watch 2022. All right.
Paper just going to get hurt.
That might be one of the more weirder segments for this guy.
Yeah, it's a little over the place.
Edition.
3-0, baby.
Strong focus on the Nets matchup.
And Stauskas, apparently.
Nets, Hornets, Pistons. What we got?
You said
playing the Pistons again? Nets? God damn.
Feel like it's
Friday night.
All right, yeah, I'm going to go 3-0. Fuck it.
Hmm. A winning streak, huh? You got to see a little winning streak in the future.
Yeah. 3 or more means win streak. Still undefeated in the month of March.
Don't be a fucking pussy, Sway.
2-1, bro.
Is the Pistons the loss? Tell me the Pistons is the loss.
No, Pistons not the loss, man.
So you think they're going to beat? They're going to lose? Nah, man. Come on.
They're going to lose the Mané, bro. Nah. The curse of the Mané is going to strike again.
Nah, yo, they won
this one
last week.
This one might go into overtime.
So,
it's going to be a nail biter.
Well, you know how much of... anyways. So, the one time that we have ever sat here on a podcast.
Oh, all three of us, yeah, we got it right.
And talked about 4-0.
Yeah, it happened. See, I felt it in my bones.
That was quite, that was something special, I got to admit. So and excited.
Man, we set them on this path.
Yeah, we did.
You know?
Good times.
This day in Causeway Street history.
We are back.
Okay. Wait. I want to bring up one thing.
Looking ahead.
Yeah. Just look ahead, man.
All right, I mean,
no, I mean, what you got? You're looking ahead. What you got?
No, I was just going to say, fuck Tony Maserati. I wanted to bring it up here, but, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Right now to talk about this motherfucker, you know. But, okay, here's the thing about Tony Maserati. I got a problem with this.
Good.
Like, okay. Felger Maz, staple in Boston, everyone fucking listens to him, right? You just do. You just end up listening to him. You just fucking do it, right? The fact that this guy has been shitting on Grant Williams all year while he's had a legitimate most improved player season, legitimately all year, and he waits until March to say, oh, I was wrong about Grant Williams. Yeah, this motherfucker and Felger and Mass and all those motherfuckers don't even understand they have like a say in how things go because they manipulate fan opinions.
Nah, but they don't have a say in what things
they
go.
They do, Joel. Yes, they do.
Bro, because you I don't know why you keep continuing to listen to them if you know that when it comes to, especially basketball, they don't know a goddamn thing over there.
No, they don't know a goddamn thing because the other day, Maz, the same moron was saying that LaMelo Ball is a better franchise starter than Jason Tatum.
Well, there you go.
See, when they say stuff like that, it's like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing here. You know? Yeah, like you're just trying to get a rise out of people.
It's
purely off of Ball's popularity. It's not off of the skill set. It's not off of like the things that really matter. You know, like that's the thing.
But I'll put it this way: the reason why I'm pissed about this thing is they have run players out of town.
No radio station has that power to do that for the Celtics. Let me tell you that. I'll tell you that.
I think you are underestimating the fact that.
Just because people enjoy the entertainment factor of it, it's not that hard to figure out. They create a narrative, and it's like, all right, let's what's going to create controversy today? What's going to get the phone calls? And what's going to get the clicks or whatever? Let's say that Jaylen Brown should be traded for Anthony Davis. Go, boom. That's just the way it is, bro.
You just shit on Grant Williams all year, and then all of a sudden you just go on Twitter and go, "Yeah, I was wrong. Sorry about that, guys." Like, fuck you. Like, seriously, fuck you. Like, I can't.
What is he supposed to do? You want to quit his job? Like, what are you supposed to do?
No, I don't think he should make knee-jerk reactions about a bench player for no fucking reason. That's what I'm
saying. Do you want a freaking letter? You want, like, a sincere apology?
No,
like,
I think
the sorry for assault. Grant, will you come on our show? We'll apologize
in person. No.
So, you know how many people we'd have to call on this freaking show if that was the case for you, man? Like,
you're missing what I'm saying.
Jeez. Like, no, Jaylen Brown, one of them.
Jason Tatum, because you wanted Markel Fultz.
We don't have to call nobody because we watch every single game and we watch them all and we form our opinions that way. From a guy who definitely doesn't watch any basketball and then has the platform to talk about basketball, decides to shits on a player after one game, maybe one bad game, and then decides that like, oh, he sucks. And then that's the thing. That's what everyone comes on to. It's like
you know, a lot of these guys, though, the Celtics are one of those teams that they're like third on the list of like local sports teams that they're really following. So, this is why he's apologizing. This is the time of the year when they finally start watching the Celtics. The Patriots are done. The Red Sox are not even, you know, what's going on MLB right now.
Looks like it's gonna be a season.
And now it's like, oh, okay, oh, now you guys are watching because you're really watching now. Yeah.
This is my point, is the fact that all year, they just like dismiss people and they say they suck and they just have uninformed opinions and they just come out and it's, I don't know. It is, oh, it pisses me off that the fact that, oh, yeah, I was wrong about Grant Williams. Well, like, your opinion about Grant Williams the entire time you've been saying he sucks could have got that guy, you know, cut, traded, whatever. And now you just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's like, idiot. Like, just stop making stupid opinions. I don't know. Go ahead.
All right. I guess it's about that time. Let's take our trip around the NBA with Joel's, in case you missed it.
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 Nah, I didn't want to do it anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
Oh, I don't know. Fuck, that shit pissed me off. Because there's been plenty of these players that he's just, like, shipped out of town.
You still going with this, man?
All right, in case you missed it, you know, the mayor of New York City came out this week, Mr. Eric Adams, addressing the whole possibility of lifting the mandate and having Kyrie play home games. And it was a no for him in terms of trying to change any sort of mandate that's going on right now in New York.
And, it's a no for me, dog.
That's a no for me, dog. I got a quote here. Listen, I want Kyrie on the court. I'd do anything to get that ring. We want to find a way to get Kyrie on the court. No. There's a bigger issue here. I can't have my city closed down again and send the wrong message just to have an exception for one player. When we're telling countless numbers of New York City employees, if you don't follow the rules, you won't be able to be employed. End quote.
Yeah, I've questioned the whole thing about, like, hey, if you don't get vaccinated, then you can't work. And now they're like, yeah, you know what? It's okay. We're lifting that mandate. It's like, but what about all those people you fired?
No, but I'm saying, but he's saying that he's not lifting the mandate. We're talking about New York. We're in New York. We're in New York right now.
Oh well, let's say. Aesthetically, he lifts the man.
And he's like, I'm not going to make it an exception for you. It's just,
yeah, because it's, you're a
professional athlete.
That's always, I bet you that's always like, you know, the first thing on his desk when he comes in. And you know, lift his mandate so Kyrie can play at home. It's like, no, I fucking said it. I'm not going to do it. So stop asking me.
And Knicks fan, bro.
I know, right? On top of that, I don't even fucking like the Nets.
They're in the playing tournament right now, sir.
I know, right? Are you going to do it now? Come on. They're a 500 team now.
He's like, I'm not lifting the mandate until the Knicks are mathematically eliminated.
At least we got one team in there, sort of.
What do you mean?
Sorry, I have spoken. No Kyrie, all right?
What do you mean? By the way, Kevin Durant's online, too.
What do you want, KD? Come on. All right. Speaking of mandates, here at the TD Garden, effective today, Saturday, they will align with the city of Boston and lift the mask requirement per the CDC guidelines. Masks are highly recommended for those who are high risk but are no longer required, and also ending the requirement for proof of vaccination at TD Garden. So, for those that couldn't go watch the Celtics or the Bruins or a concert or any event at the Garden because you weren't vaccinated, you can go any game. Especially now, it's a good time of the year to go catch a Celtics and a Bruins game because it's a
mask off.
You know, but unfortunately, the weather's not cooperating, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, turn up that future, man. Turn up that future, man. Mask off, mask off, man. You know, they need to just blast that every time out, and then everyone just goes nuts on the big screen. Yeah. They do like a big demonstration, just a bunch of mats all over the floor. Like, hey, everyone, what's going on?
What? Come on, this is, you know, what's. No one did a hat trick here. Why are we doing this?
It's mask off day.
All right. In case you missed it, according to ESPN, the lawyers who are leading the NBA investigation into Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver are going to prepare to interview him regarding the accusations against the team's majority owner.
Jeez, I love how they just, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but I love how they just drag this thing out. What's taking so long for this? But yeah, keep going.
But yeah, this is going on since November.
Right. They just like went away for a little bit.
Yeah, no, but according to ESPN, more than 300 people have been interviewed as part of the investigation, pretty much over allegations of racism and misogyny and sometimes a hostile and toxic workplace during Sarver's 17-year run with the Phoenix Suns. So.
Is Phoenix still saying that it's not that bad, or what's going on? They were signing with this dude from the very beginning.
Oh no, they're still behind him, but it's just now it's time for him to get actually interviewed after interviewing 300 so odd people in the organization, or former and current.
Interesting.
So
what a wild year for Phoenix.
Seriously.
You know, you've been number one all year long. You know, this happens, and then like you lose Chris Paul, and you're still winning games. It's kind of like, what is our, and per usual, it's like our future still looks a little bleak. Like we're not quite sure what's going on. Like,
yeah, since the bubble.
A lot of distractions. Yeah, the bubble.
Since the bubble, it's just like a lot of uncertainties, but like good things have been happening. But
good things are happening on the court, right? At the same time.
It's like, well, the future looks bright.
Devin's like, everyone just relax. We're good.
I know, right? Like, the future looks bright, but who's going to own the team? Don't worry about that. We're winning games.
That's all. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Just keep playing the violin.
For real. And in case you missed it, while Jaylen Brown is still out for an unspecified amount of time, he was actually reelected as the vice president of the NBPA executive committee.
What's up?
He's one of like seven vice presidents for those that are like, oh wow, he's just like the exclusive.
Yeah, is that new, by the way?
There's
like,
mad
I,
vice
I
presidents.
Swear they used to be like three. Now yeah. They're just really opening.
This is a shitload now.
Yeah. New generation, I guess.
Yeah, it's a shitload. So he'll begin his 3-year term immediately. Good for him, Jaylen.
Vice Prez.
Yeah, man. You know what? Chris Paul ain't giving that fucking seat up till he dies, though, bro.
Or when he retires, but all right.
All right. We'll either way. Yeah.
We no longer play.
Seriously.
Whichever comes first.
Yeah. And we got a pair of congratulations here to...
I think it's like
toss out here. One to Tatum, obviously, because it was his birthday. You know, he turned 19 again. Good for him. But he also passed Kevin Garnett for the most points scored at the TD Garden. He's number three right now on the list. And as you all know, or some of you know, Kevin Garnett about to get his number retired. Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Yep. Epic night. Can't wait. What a weekend's going to be, man. Paul Pierce going to be in the house. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. And the congratulations to the Celtics as a franchise who, with their win over the Memphis Grizzlies, they have won their 35th, 100th game in history. They have the most wins than any team in NBA history.
Who does?
The Celtics.
Come on, man. No question there. Who does, he said. Who does? The Clippers. Yeah. What do you mean, bro? The Celtics.
The Celtics, man.
What do you think this is, man?
3,500 wins.
Come on, man.
Behind them is the Lakers. They're about 50 wins below them. And then the next closest one is the 76ers.
Like hundreds.
Like 2,900. Yeah, it's yeah, there's
yeah.
Yeah, way behind.
Yeah.
So
in a different league, all right? It's all about the Lakers and the Celtics. Yeah, how fitting is this though? The Celtics are surging. The Lakers are not.
Yeah.
And HBO what was it? The new show about the 80s Lakers.
Oh, yo, the Showtime Lakers
starts this weekend.
Yo.
Yeah, it starts this weekend.
Yo, Magic Johnson was asked to comment on that. He's like, no comment.
The basketball gods are being funny right now. They're like, man, the Lakers are playing terrible. The Celtics are surging. Here you go, Lakers fans. I want you to relive the good old days. Relive the good old days.
Like, remember when players could do coke and bang all the women and then just, you know, win championships? Well, here it is.
You're never going to believe it. Never going to believe this stuff.
The dude they got for Jerry Buzz, he's just. Yo, the show looks good. I can't wait the fucking show to start. Yo, that's going to be good.
Isn't that John C. Reilly?
Yeah, it is.
No, it sure is.
Damn right.
It's going to be a really good show.
Love it.
You know what else I love too? You know what else I love? Mike Epps playing Richard Pryor, man. That's going to be. Oh man, it's gonna be good. I think he's gonna nail it because he's been talking about wanting to play him in the biopic, wanting that role so badly that I think not only is he gonna crush it, but around those guys and those actors, like that comedic like element to it. Oh man, it's gonna be funny. It's gonna be good stuff.
So yeah, that's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. It's a great time to be watching the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also a great time to subscribe to the Causeway Patreon. That's patreon.com/causeway. Subscribe for some exclusive content. And you won't be disappointed because, yo, season 2 just kicked off for both the After Hours podcast and for Sway's 101 podcast.
Yes. I got my 101 with Dan Grunfeld. Really, really crazy story. Incredible family story. Father was the GM of those Knicks teams that we used to love, Joel, remember?
Yeah.
Larry Johnson and them. Oh, man. Played for the Knicks as well.
the years that the Celtics were never run close to the playoffs. Huh?
Yeah, right. The years were like you're like, okay, I guess I'll just not root for this team, but I hope things swing their way throughout this playoff.
Yeah, because you know, who wanted Indiana Pacers to win, right? Honestly. Yeah.
Right. then another episode, and of course another episode of Causeway After Hours, man. I don't know about you guys, but some of the stuff that we put out there, I'm like, man, they're really like, we're really telling some stories that we don't normally tell. Like, we don't normally even like share with most of our friends, I feel like, but it's good, man. It's really funny. I have a really good time listening to it.
Yeah, man. So get on that. You'll love all the shit that we talk about, because it's not just sports. It's about life, and it's just us hanging out, and we got different stories to tell. So check it out.
Yeah. You know, I'm devastated right now.
Why?
I bought tickets to the wrong game, bro.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I'm going on Sunday.
You're trying to go to the KG game?
That's why you led with the KG thing. Oh, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Like, no wonder
you know how amped up I would be, bro? I was like, fuck, let's go. I would have led with that. I would have led with that shit. They're going to fucking do the intro.
The one day they just got weird after that. He's like, fuck. Like,
you did get weird. That's so true. Yo, after that Memphis game, KG is in town that weekend. Are you kidding me? Yo, that would have been insane. KG in the audience watching Kyrie and Durant. Oh, man, he would have been barking. He would have been right next to Paul.
And he was the one that was – it was him and Cedric.
Yeah, they should have did that.
Yeah, right? They should have. Him and Cedric were like, yo, how are we going to, like – let this dude, you know, get away with stomping on Lucky. And
they were the only ones that were saying that, man. Exactly. They were hurt. They were legit hurt. Like, yo, you guys.
They're like, yo, fuck this dude.
Yeah.
If the fucking dumbass didn't throw the water ball at him, I think more people would have been talking about that.
I'll be there back-to-back Sundays then.
All right. And as always, Black Lives Matter. Let's stop Asian hate. And let's pray for peace in the Middle East. And let's pray for the people of Ukraine. Because if you haven't been living under a rock, you know some tough stuff going on right now in the world. So let's hope for some positivity.
I'll say this: the company at our town hall, we got people that in Ukraine. And this girl came out from Ukraine in the town hall, so the whole company's there, and she's in like the western part of the Ukraine, but like scared. You could just tell she's scared. She's petrified, and she's just like, "Yo, you know, I'm good, but like." The whole country isn't bad.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's so scary.
I can't even imagine. I can't imagine trying to being in that situation. I can't put my feet in those shoes.
I imagine being, it's a big thing. It's awful. And if you can donate to any Ukraine fund, donate.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
Good call. Absolutely, man.
Good call.
They're out there. So you got to
help. Prayers up, man. Prayers up.
Yeah, as cliche as it sounds, but, you know, thoughts and prayers to everyone. I've talked to a lot of friends of mine that have family over there in Ukraine. So it's a tough situation. I can't even imagine what they're going through on a daily basis. So,
right. Yeah. That's the thing, because it's on a daily basis. Every 24 hours.
The country that has built itself so much since the Soviet Union,
I know, man.
Yep. They've since 1980, they've been building themselves, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, actually, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Yep. So, thoughts and prayers and money donate to Ukraine. You got it.
And on that note, we'll see y'all next time. Later.